Welcome to Who Put This On, Season 5, Episode 10, where we watch Storage Wars, Season 1, Episode 15, and Season 12, Episode 29 or 26.
Episode 16.
Whatever garbage that was. I'm Chris Lorenz.
I'm Brian.
No singer.
Going for 50, 50. Do I hear 50? It's Max.
50.
Did anyone get the show description?
I'm pulling up right now.
All right. Well, if this is the first time you're watching or listening to us, we do a different reality show each week where we watch an episode or two and we go over how good or bad it is in great minutia detail. I probably would encourage you to watch the episodes, but sometimes I don't think you should. And, this week, probably not the best to watch.
If you got that Corona time,
I don't even know.
With it. Oh, even not with the Corona time.
We'll have to get into it. Before we start this off, I want every one of us to go around and give us your best I want to bid sound.
All right.
Brian, you got this?
Yep.
No, you got this.
This is poor for podcasting.
It's great.
But I liked the non-vocal registering of the bid where like they just did the eyebrow raise.
Yours is an eyebrow raise?
Yeah, I'm doing it.
Okay. Not great. I was wondering, why is this not good for the podcast? Max, you got?
I got one.
All right, go ahead.
Wait, me? I start?
No. I ask you, give me your bid sound.
I was just going to sing the Grundy County Auction song. Do you guys know that song?
No.
It's this country song that, like, the chorus is like an auctioneer. It's funny.
Well, I'll give my bid sound.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you mean by bid sounds? I thought you meant like the guy who's like, hey, 50, 50, 10.
No, not the auctioneer, the bid sound.
Oh, okay. Woo!
There you go. You gotta have your own unique bid sound so they know who's bidding. Brian, you got the show description for us?
This is the best I got for this. This is bad. As four professional buyers and their teams watch that as they scour repossessed storage units in search of hidden treasure. These seasoned veterans have found everything from coffins to the world's most valuable comic book collection, paying as little as $10 for items valued in the millions. That's Storage Wars on whatever the hell that was. So everything else, like I tried to find a show description, A&E's was like three paragraphs long and I was not reading the Wikipedia entry.
I think it was on A&E.
It is, yeah, A&E.
This is a classic reality show we've never done. So it's like, you know, garbage people like going out doing garbage things. I don't know. They're bidding on garbage, trying to sell garbage.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you saying like they're trashy people who are like trying to deal with trash?
I'm not trying to say that. So we watched two episodes, one in season one and one in the latest season. We wanted to get a sample size of how the show has gone. We've only done that one other time. I think it's pretty fun to do. So
it was definitely worth it this time, I'd say.
Yeah, I think it's been worth every time we've done that, so we should probably keep doing that,
especially when there's a decade
between
the episodes.
It would be like watch Survivor season one versus the latest one, like 2 decades in between.
Yeah,
I was shocked that like they had most of the same characters.
Yeah, same.
Like, it seems like this sort of show you could swap people out willy nilly and nobody would give a shit, but.
Yeah, it's kind of odd that like this they picked season one, whoever the actors / these people are, were good enough to be on until season 12. Like, really? Couldn't find anyone else? And we're not bored of these people yet?
It is impressive. And what's even more surprising is the shticks are kind of the same.
Yeah, I mean, Avi.
It's like a decade-long sitcom, but the writing never changes. It's Groundhog's Day. It's in and out.
Just the products that change and the garbage they're trying to sell and buy.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So we watched two episodes. Each episode had like three or four rooms that they bid on. People won by paying money, and they made profit, maybe or maybe not. And that was it.
We don't know if they made profit. They assess the stuff in the storage unit.
Yeah, yeah. That's very true.
Who knows how in the world they're going to get that money?
Sometime, I mean, one time they actually did go through the process of how it was sold, but
yeah, they would then auction off the stuff at the end of the episode. Or some lady kept talking about her store.
Yeah, some people had a store. Yeah,
kind of an American Pickers type situation where they just collect this junk, and how they make money off of it isn't really important.
It's definitely more about the process, Noah. The people that are watching the show and like the show must not care how much these things are. Like, they want to know relatively.
Yeah.
But like, when something's worth like $100, like they don't, like, they're just like, okay.
$10. It reminded me of our first hot tub podcast where we did Antique Roadshow, where you'd get these assessments on different antiques.
Yeah.
And it's like, who's paying that for the blue horse of clay?
No one.
Nobody.
People who are very bored.
Yeah. So let's go over a little some of these minutia details. So we got Don Dotson is the auctioneer for both episodes, and he is he's professional. He's doing it. Got
I heard you bet $600 there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if there's anything else to say about this guy. He's got like no personality. No. He's just there to do the bits.
Yeah, that's why he like talks like that. That's all he's got.
But he is like the de facto host of the show, though, right?
Kind of.
Like, there is no real host of the show.
Right.
Yeah, he's just there to like get everybody a damn locker so then they can actually continue on with the real part of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Then there's also Laura Dotson, who's in the second episode, and she was like kind of helping show the lockers. So I don't know. She seemed almost like a car show lady to a point.
What is a car show lady?
You know, back in the 60s where like Ford would hire like models to show off their cars to make them look hotter.
Going in the 90s.
I mean, it was going on for a long time, but like I just wanted to like go back further.
Can I tell you guys a fun little childhood anecdote?
Sure.
I went to the New York Auto Show every year with my dad and my grandpa, and one time we see this like concept car from Mercury, which is long since dead, and I told my dad that the lady looked like she needed to eat something.
you know it's funny, I used to go to that car show also. What? I don't know, every year, but very frequently at the Jacob Javits Center.
Yeah, dude, it was great.
Yeah. Some fun fact on Dan Dotson. He seems like a nice guy, but shit, he does not age well. He's 57.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What happened?
I know. He definitely should not eat so many ribs, maybe. But yeah, and he runs a website, which I love the name of. The website is a .net, storageauctions.net.
Okay. Is it like what is on Geocities?
Sorry.
What's on it?
That is next in the corner. But they, on Wikipedia, it's an internet portal focusing on providing self-storage auction listings throughout the United States and Canada.
All right, no one cares about this. We're going to move on. We're going to talk about Barry. He bought the first storage unit in the first episode for $840. Does anyone remember what Barry's nickname was? He was the Collector.
Dun, dun, dun.
What a dumb nickname. Everyone here is collecting.
Yeah, there was a Mogul, a Young Gun.
I have them all. We'll go over them when we get to them.
No, not everybody's supposed to be collecting. Like, they're trying to sell this shit. Like, they're trying to get rid of it.
Well, so in this storage unit, he just, like, the only thing he gets out of it apparently is some sort of magazine that claims is the number one of some garbage magazine or something. Like,
the Hot Rod.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. And it's like, out of all that trash, this guy, like, didn't. In the show, it didn't look like he spent a whole lot of time in this unit. He probably just, like, get a dumpster out here and just junk it.
That's something what a lot of those guys do. Like, you just got to throw away most of this stuff, and then, like, some of it's like, eh, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see the operations they have, or if operations is even a grandiose title for what they're up to. But, like, you'd imagine if you're trying to run one of these things, like, you have your people going out bidding on the different lockers, right? Because obviously there's going to be a couple of these going on simultaneously. And then you have different people that can actually, like, assess all the junk, different people selling all the junk, different people, like, going through all the junk, right? Like,
this is a really crazy operation. Like, there's so much overhead. Like, just try to simplify that to, like, one or two people.
I mean, you can, but then you're missing on the other auctions, right? Like,
oh, that's true.
Yeah. I just don't think there's enough of these being auctioned off. Like, at best, they're monthly.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, so on Dotson's website, it's actually it's like an eBay for storage lockers. I mean, there's a decent number, and it looks like there's maybe like five or six a day on his online site.
Yeah, but that's just because it's got all of the storage auctions online ever.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely, this is across country. Right? So you got Nebraska, Texas, Maryland.
Yeah, it's like, this would, like, almost preclude you having for in-person ones. Like, maybe if you get this much money in the online one than in person, like, why go through all the effort?
Right.
You're just not getting that much money to begin with. Also, one of the things I thought of, like, if you want to make, like, a quick buck, just get one of those storage units, shove all your junk in there, and then never pay it. And then, like, they'll just sell it on here, and then,
then you just buy it back. Yeah.
That's really cool. How you lose money, Chris. No.
It's, yeah, I mean, this guy just buys junk. He lost $840. What the fuck? It was a hoarder, like, just like hoarder shit.
That's the gamble, Chris.
That's the gamble?
Yeah, it's just more high stakes
gambling. Yeah, I feel like gambling like $20. Not right. Like $840.
Well, things got...
I would have to imagine that it's paid off for him before.
Totally. Yeah.
I'm sure. I mean, it's like, I have no interest in dealing with all this garbage. No interest. I don't want to sweet throw it. I don't want to sell it. So, like, forget it. This is not a job for me.
No. But, like, also, the price have really changed. Like, it went from, like, $800 to $1,000 to, like, $200-$300.
$80.
Yeah. Like, the prices are way more in line with what I thought.
Yeah, that's later on. Let's go over the next one. Brandy and Jared bought the second one in the first episode. Some sort of looked like a garbage locker as well. They bought it for $1,050.
Yeah. Are they the Young Gun?
They're the, oh yeah, let me check what their thing was. Sorry. They're the Young Guns, yes. Because they're young in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Episode one, they definitely look like they're new on the street.
Yeah. So in this storage unit, they found antiques that were worth like $3,000. So they made $2,000.
Good for them.
Yeah. I mean, that's the most reasonable locker. It seemed like one of the more reasonable lockers. Like, oh, in the back, they pull this thing up and it had like something semi-expensive in it or worth something. But like, I don't know. This might be a good time to get into like how fake the show kind of feels and seems.
We got to talk about the difference of fakeness between season one and season 12.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, season one, half believe, like, I believe it, kind of.
I believed season one, like, it seemed pretty legit. Like, there were some bits, like, when the Young Guns ask Dave to go assess like the cabinet they found. Like obviously that was played up a little bit, but I don't think they planted anything, which we'll get to. Season 12 looks like they got legit plants to manufacture a whole scene.
Yeah, Noah, can you move that blanket so I can see you? Sorry, great podcast material. Yeah, I mean, sure, I'll give you that. Like, season one seemed mostly legit. Like, that guy got trash and only ended up with, a fake magazine. That fake magazine could have been planted. And this antique thing could have been planted. Like, those are the things that, like, I could think about. But, like, season 12, we'll get into, like, fuck, everything was fake. Like, I don't think any money passed anyone's hands.
It was wild.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
I could see why they haven't renewed that.
You really think the magazine was a plant?
Yeah.
It could have been.
I think that, like, if it's a boring one, you could just plant something and make it a little interesting.
Hmm.
Season 2 felt more realistic than 12. Like, I could suspend my disbelief.
For one, yeah. Yeah, so after Brandy and Jared bought that one, we got Dave. He bought the last one on that episode for $300, which had some sort of bedroom set and some ivory jewelry, which we got to see at like a jeweler, and it was appraised there. And then it went to auction and sold for more than the appraisal, which is pretty rare usually. And then so he made $12,000.
Yeah, and it wasn't just ivory. He found rhino pieces.
Oh, yeah.
Which was
rhinoceros horn.
Yeah, like the hidden little get. I was a little, I don't know if I should say upset, but like they didn't talk about the lack of compassion on ivory and rhinoceros like jewelry in the show, which I feel like it was like a little miss. It should have been like, oh, it's not cool to kill elephants and rhinos for their horns.
Yeah.
Also, like, no compassion for these people who just keep losing all their shit in storage lockers.
Oh, and yeah. Don't think about how they got there. Yeah. Also, Dave is the mogul.
Oh, okay. Going back to it, do you think, like, if you miss, do you think it's, like, 1 month payment?
No, it's usually like, in your contract. Mm-hmm. It's usually like 2 or 3 months payment.
Mm. And then it's like, we just sell it off. Like, yeah. You're going to lose all your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Like, you can't get it back unless you pay all the month's payments.
But you can't even get it back. Like, once you sell it off, like...
It's like, so if you're behind by 2 months...
Yeah.
Then you can't get it out. If you're behind a month, you can't get it out.
Right.
And then there's like something in the contract that you sign that's 60 to 90 days, then they can auction it off.
And surprise, like some of those owners, I think that would be a cool episode. They come at the auction, they're like, guns a-blazing.
I guarantee you there's an episode like that.
Yeah, that'd be fun to watch.
Interesting.
So then we can move on to the second episode. They go to Long Beach. They do some sort of bullshit charity thing. Like, I don't understand. I was kind of bored already.
They did not explain any part of that.
There was just like some things donated to charity in the storage unit, I guess. And then you get to bid on that, and then that goes to the store, goes to charity. So they, in this bid, they just had a bunch of people bid and give it to charity.
No, that wasn't the. It was kind of weird. So instead of the storage, apartment building, what do you want to call it? Like, holding the money for the unit, they're just pushing it to charity, right? Because usually the storage unit would just like take the money, right?
Exactly. That's what I just said.
Yeah.
Instead, some people donated the stuff in the unit.
No, it's not even that. Like, they just said, oh, haha, joke bid that I won.
Yeah, that's not a joke bid. They're just like, hey, instead of me taking the stuff, I'll just donate it. You can rebid it.
Right. They didn't donate stuff. They just donated the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I said. They turned into this bullshit thing where a bunch of people just donated money.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they just had a lot more bidding going on because they would bid it up and then just give the money away. they reset the bid to like $100.
Yeah, it was so bad.
Also, the second episode, the format was slightly different. The first episode, they would do like a locker, find out what's inside. A locker, find out what's inside, right?
Relatively,
like they'd play with it. Second episode was just locker, 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 what's inside, what's inside, what's inside, what's inside. And that didn't really work for me. Like, I lost track of, I just stopped giving a shit.
Yeah. I stopped giving a shit almost immediately, but yes. Yeah. I think season 12 just like
really sunk it.
Quick question. Why is this a storage war?
Because they're bidding. They're trying to win the most money. So that's the war. It's capitalism.
And at the end of the episode, like, notice how they have all the totals and it's like, hey, here's the winner. Like, that's it. Mm. That you win like that episode.
That's the war.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's a battle. Like, maybe they total up at the end of the season for a war.
Yeah.
We watched the last episode.
I don't know.
Stop it. Stop with your logic, Noah. Yeah. So after this bullshit charity unit, we got Daryl. He bought the second unit, which was like, I don't know. Eventually, it had an ultrasound in it. He ended up buying it for $325. And profiting $640. Daryl is the gambler.
Yeah, he did well for himself.
He's in the main cast for all. He like leaves the main cast for a bit. I don't know. Dave leaves for a bit, but everyone else is on the whole time.
Wow, I'm surprised Dave left. He seems like him and the Young Guns are really like the main front runners.
So I'll give you here. So if we're going over the people. I didn't mention two buyers got their own spinoff.
What?
Whoa.
The fuck?
So we got Brandy and Jared married to the job, and we got buried treasure storage wars. Barry Strikes Back.
Oh God,
he might have two.
Barry Strikes Back.
What?
Buried treasure has 8 episodes.
What does Barry Strikes Back premiere on Pornhub?
I don't know. There's no Wikipedia link for it. Both those spinoffs got 8 episodes, guys. So it's not nothing super crazy.
And like ended?
What?
They're definitively done? Like, yeah, they're ended? Okay.
But I was just, you know, that shows you who I think they think the winners are in this.
Yeah. I mean, if the show can make like a entire series out of a TV or a Twitter feed, then you can make a shot out of anything.
Yeah. So like, there's not a lot to say about this unit. Whatever. There's an ultrasound in it. Unclear if it was planted or not, but in my mind, probably planted.
Probably.
Cause they had this idea for this bit to go to the, animal hospital and use the ultrasound. The fact that it's a working ultrasound in there is just very questionable.
Right.
It looks pretty new. Like, things that look pretty new aren't like usually in storage units. And the fact that there's like nothing else in the unit, right?
It's so fucking weird that I can almost believe it.
Yeah. Like, the sonogram thing seemed more realistic because there's not a commercial angle. Like, they showed the brand called HandScan, but it didn't seem like they're really trying to like pump it up. Compared to the drone that someone found in a different unit, which I know we'll get to, where they were marketing the shit out of that drone, where it felt like a placement.
Well, let's just talk about this drone unit.
Well, it was also a great introduction to Harrison, the golden.
Oh, yeah. We should pour it out for Harrison. You know, usual Potter, but today he gets replaced by the dog. Named Harrison, who's the star of the episode.
Oh, yeah. We get to see his ultrasound.
We get to see his liver.
All right. Let's get into this. Jared and Brandy won the last unit in the last episode for $3,700.
Hmm.
And in this storage unit is like a bunch of like shitty electronics, some like decent drills, like a lot of drills.
A lot of tools.
And like some skateboard that's worth like $100, which... okay, I don't know where you're buying this skateboard at. And then they find this drone. What was the drone brand again?
DJI.
Yeah, and it's like some drone four, and it's like, oh man, they spent so much time at the store. Like, it was such an obvious product placement. This just like kills all 12 seasons of this whole show.
Yeah, it really sucks. Like, they find the drone and they go to the headquarters, it seems like, of DJI. Like, they're in a showroom and they get like a sales marketing guy to come out and do the hype man routine for this drone. It feels like a maybe okay infomercial if you're tuning in for that, but it really ruins all authenticity.
It's terrible.
I have a theory. What if DJI rents a storage locker, puts some shit in it, and then stops paying?
No.
Free advertising.
There's not a guarantee it's going to be on Storage Wars.
I mean, it's in within like a 20-mile radius of downtown LA. Like, you get a couple plants, you know, like, that's a clever little guerrilla marketing scheme.
Nobody's I don't think that. This is what happens.
It's way cheaper to just pay A&E to be like, hey, you put this drone in all those storage water, the lockers, you know?
I mean, is A&E even a channel anymore? They're probably taking, like, free cans of beans for sponsorship.
All right, so then we get to this middle units here. Daryl and Dave buy, like, sister units. Daryl for $80 and Dave for $190. And then afterwards, they like bet each other $100 to see who had the better unit. And they're terrible actors. That's clearly not what's happening.
Then the
worst part is Dave shows up and he's like, where's Daryl? He should be here. And then, like, literally 5 seconds later, Daryl comes and's like, got my $100. I have it out, dude. Where's your $100? Put it down. And it's just like, he was right behind you. Like, it's like it's just so hilariously bad.
It also shows how much they don't spend on production, because he had 5 20s instead of a $100 bill, which you'd imagine, like, part of the show, they're going to throw out $100.
I don't know. On this. Yeah. Maybe they didn't have 5 20s. Maybe they didn't have
it. Like, but it's just like, for a show, you're going to bet $100. Like, show the $100.
No, these are poor. This is a poor folks. Daryl needs to make money.
Man, Daryl.
This is the straight up worst, dumbest bet I've ever heard.
Yeah. So after this happens, Daryl just goes. Daryl goes through his unit and he's like, this is $100. This is $90. This is like $100. Meanwhile, it's just like dirty laundry. And like, eventually he's just like, this shit's garbage. And it walks away and like leaves his $100 there and just gives it to Dave.
Yeah, you got to know when to hold him and when to fold him, Chris.
But then the worst thing here is, like, the end of the episode, they go by the, like, profit margins, which is how I know the profits of all the things. And they're just like, Dave won $90 or $80. And I'm just like, what? Where did that happen? Where's, like, it's like, since Daryl left his crap there, all that crap was worth, like, $300 or something. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, it makes no sense. But who puts dirty laundry in a storage unit?
It could be not dirty laundry. It could just be like clothes and you're not used to giving them to Goodwill. Could be your like summer clothes or your winter clothes.
Yeah, that actually makes the most sense.
But they're in California. They're in Southern California.
Good point. There is no season.
Excellent point.
I mean, you could like maybe you moved to Southern California.
Maybe it's in Tahoe plates.
Maybe you moved there.
You got to sell before you move, because nobody's going to buy it there because they don't have any need for it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you like move and you just put it in the storage unit. And you're like, what if I move away? I'll have all my clothes.
You're not moving away. You know the good life.
Even if you are to move away, by the time you paid off that storage unit, you're just worse off buying new shit.
Maybe it was just cheaper to put it in the storage unit for a month and let it go than to like figure out how to get rid of all that shit.
Those $1 deals really get you.
Yeah, so that's kind of all, that's all the bits that happen in these two episodes. Great garbage.
Yeah, it, I mean, this is... I can't believe it's been on for a decade.
Yeah, unclear. Maybe we should have reached out to a fan, see what they think.
Who's a fan? I'm a-
I don't know. It's been on for long enough that there's going to be some fans, dude.
It's also on A&E, so...
You only need you don't need that many fans.
No, the bar is low. This is like the channel that they keep on at retirement homes, but the change of channel is locked behind that plastic thing, and so no one can actually change the channel, and the remote ran out of batteries, and they don't know how to get more batteries. So it's staying on. And some reason, they're counting that towards viewership.
But why was it on there in the first place? Like, who did that? Who was a sick fuck?
Who put this on?
All right, let's questions. Let's do. Actually, before we go to questions, I have an internet corner for everyone. Okay.
Love the corner.
So on Wikipedia, there is a section for authenticity, which is a pretty weird thing to have on Wikipedia. So we've got, apparently, we have somebody sued saying that this was all fake. Claiming the producers staged entire units, planted items in lockers after having them appraised weeks in advance, and funneled cash to Weaker's teams to buy lockers. This was Dave Heister, which I don't know if he was actually in the show or not. I don't think it was that Dave.
Yeah.
Somebody I'm pretty sure that about- is the Dave in the show.
It is. I Googled it.
Okay. Yeah, and there was a mini joke where, like, somebody said, hey, that's like a Dave Heisman portrait, and it was a toilet seat.
Oh, you're right. Is that your favorite minor minutia, Brian?
I think so, yeah. I'm sorry to skip ahead.
So, in 2013, A&E denied the accusations, but in the lawsuit said that it was their First Amendment right to do this instead of actually coming up with the proper lawsuit. There's not a game. It is not intellectual, so it's not a game show. Was their whole argument, and it was A&E and Heister came to a settlement in 2014, and he returned to the show.
Huh.
So wait, because it's not intellectual, it's not a game show.
Let me read exactly what it is. Okay. January 2013, rather than deny the accusations, A&E responded by stating that its composition of the show is covered by the First Amendment and that Heister's claims do not apply. The network has said that Communications Act of 1934 is inapplicable to cable television, which did not exist in 1934, and that the format of Storage Wars involves no chance, intellectual knowledge, or intellectual skill, and so is not a game show.
Yeah, there's these definitions that come in where, like, when you're defining gambling or like a sport or competition, which it sounds like the language being used there, and it seems like they didn't want to go to court, so they decided outside of court. But to go to court, which would have judged if what they're doing on the show has some type of skill involved.
So, but they're not denying the fact that they were helping teams and giving money and looking into things beforehand.
Well, no, I mean, they just said they're not going to go to court. Well, no, by what you read, it sounded more of like, is this a game of skill?
Yeah, but the accusation is that you're rigging it for other people by doing these things. And their response is, it doesn't matter that we're rigging the things because we can rig the things if we want to.
Mm. Yeah.
Whether they're rigging them or not, they did not admit to.
Right, but right. They just took it outside.
They just said that, hey, you know, we can rig it if we want to.
You know what? It's probably where Cash Me Outside probably came from.
I don't understand.
Catch Me Outside. How about that?
Yeah. It's a meme from like 2016 or so. It actually comes from like a Jerry Springer type show with some like trashy girl says like, "Catch Me Outside. How about that?" You know.
You don't need to go into it, but it's very good.
All right. So let's go to questions. Let's do favorite minor minutia since we got Brian's.
Yeah, David Hester toilet seat portrait.
I like mine. They were going in and they found some sort of novelty license plate where it was like, if the van is a rockin', don't come and knockin'.
Yep.
Just some garbage. Max, you got one?
No.
Noah, do you have one? All right. Who is the worst human being in this?
I have one. I don't think he's actually the worst, but he just makes me feel very anxious, which is Don Dotson with his auctioneering. It is so unnecessary.
That's just how auctions are done, dude.
I know that is a thing. It just seems over the top and unnecessary. You could be like $200. Does anybody want to bid $250?
No, it's too slow.
I don't think it is. He's just filling in that vocal silence with. He's literally doing.
You don't need to do that to our audience.
He's not saying anything.
No, he's just getting in their heads. It's just like, oh man, this is moving fast. I gotta.
So like the reason they usually do that is because they're usually auctioning off a ton of shit. Like it doesn't make a lot of sense here because you can go all day.
But why, even when you're, I actually do not understand the intent of the hype in unless it's pure, like Brian saying, it's a sales tactic to make people feel antsy and jumpy to just be like, oh my God, I gotta do it.
I don't know. Sure, there's some YouTube video or some book you can read and find out. I have no idea.
Into the corner I go.
Yeah. I don't know if there is a worse human being in this show. Like, I feel like the producers and whoever is like faking the show is the worst person in the show. But since they're not in the show.
I have an entrance. I think sure. It's us for watching this show. Or the person who bought that ivory.
Brian.
Yeah, so I forgot about the ivory purchaser. But also, like, I was going to say that everybody is terrible on that show except for Don Dotson, the auctioneer. Because he's just trying to take money from these, like, assholes.
I mean, you don't know why people are, like, down on their luck campaign their storage unit. You're taking stuff from people.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. No, like...
And that Don Dotson is the one taking the stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, I mean, he's he's more closer to the people taking the stuff than anyone.
See, that was my main thing is that, like, hey, like, it's not right to, like, really just take all their stuff like that. And then I was trying to gauge, like, who's the worst part of this. And, everybody's bad.
Yeah. I don't think there's a clear winner on that one. But, all right, let's move on.
Oh, wait. I did some real, real quick cornering. And I feel like I have a really good answer. So,
I hope you're ready for all the emails that come in.
Oh, please give me the emails. It's jeff@amazon.com. So why do the auctioneers talk so fast? It's ultimately try to get people to bid. What they're doing, it's ultimately like kind of hypnotize the people that are bidding. So they very intentionally use rhythmic tones, and the filler words they use are like, want to bet a dollar? Who wants to bet? Like, they're using very quick phrases that are almost sublime to try to get people into the position of actually bidding. Additionally, they try to create a presence of, like, call and response such that they're trying to prime the people that are being hypnotized of, oh, the trigger word, I'm going to go bid. So it is definitely about deception and manipulating your audience to get the highest bid.
Sounds like a typical mobile game of today.
Yep.
All right. Gotta
get them coins.
On that note, what is the most baffling cringeworthy moment on this show? I feel the most baffling cringeworthy moment we talked about already, which was the Dave and Daryl like competition scene where they're competing over the sister storage units. It's terrible. It's baffling. Like what world?
For me, it's not a baffling moment, but cringeworthy is the infomercial for DJI drones. I wanted to curl up into a ball.
Brian, you got one?
So season one was a little bit cringy because there was like one of the people was just constantly trashing on like all the places. I don't think you really needed to do that. It was just like, why do you need to burn everybody else is not here? Like,
I don't know. Max, you got one?
Nothing specific. Kind of just all of it.
Okay. So I'm going to bring back one. Ooh. From back in the day, guys. Give me a drinking rule. I'll start out with one. Every time a storage unit is completed bid, take a sip.
Ooh, like what if every time the bid increases, you take a sip?
Yeah. Every time there's a bid accepted,
you sip. Oh, I thought they meant the end.
Yeah, I thought the same thing as Brian.
No. Every time the bid. I feel like you'd be pretty drunk at the end of this, just with that one alone.
Yeah, that's game over. Maybe like take... I could change it to like maybe like every $100, although it only really applies like the first season.
No, that's my... You give your own.
Okay, fine.
I'm going with every time they find a quote-unquote antique.
Take a sip?
Take a big sip.
A big sip.
Yeah.
Sip and a half.
Yeah.
Max, you got one?
Every time you're disappointed, take a drink.
So am I just chugging, Max?
Yeah.
Brian, got one?
No, I don't.
We don't have to. So this one I got to explain a little bit. So a while ago on the internet, there was this thing of like the reality show Family Tree. So like which show inspired the next show and like which show inspired the show. So I figured, who are the parents of this reality show? So like, who are who's the daddy and the mommy to this reality show? And I think it's pretty clear that Pawn Stars is either before this. I think it's before this.
It absolutely came before this.
Yeah. So Pawn Stars is its clear inspiration, but I also think there's like traveling you see three things that are like, and you pick one, just could be related with the three things and like setting it up, but it's mostly Pawn Stars. Anyone else?
I'm going to say Pawn Stars fucked Antique Roadshow. And yeah, you come out with this. I got to say, though, Pawn Stars, I know I say that very awkwardly. It's the New York accent. Is only 1 year older than Storage Wars, which makes me believe it's hard for it to be the parent just due to like production schedules, marketing.
You never know. A&E's like, they got that greatest show, we need it. And they do this.
I believe it's the same parent company because Pawn Stars are History Channel, I'm fairly certain. It's History and A&E, yeah. It's all the one company. So it could be, but that's a super tight delivery.
Look, we're just trying to have fun. I'm not trying to do all the research for this.
So the first episode of Pawn Stars are July 19, 2009. First episode of Storage Wars is December 1st, 2010.
That's a long gap.
You can definitely pull it off. So basically, they would have noticed that Pawn Stars is popular, let's say like September 2009, and then they could pull out.
Well, I mean, it also depends on what the parent to the Pawn Stars is. I'm not sure what that is.
Well, like, Antique Roadshow and
something.
The Pawn Stars.
Yeah, what inspired Pawn Stars? I don't know.
Oh, man.
Like, then you could look into, like, what also inspired the show, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Google actually offers a good little tip for this because they have like people also search, right? Unfortunately, what they're showing for Pawn Stars is actually a lot of spin-offs, like Pawn Stars Australia, Hardcore Pawn, Pawn
Max,
Stars Pumped Up,
what do you
Pawn
got?
Stars UK, Pawn Pornography, Asian Pawn Stars.
Can I have sort of a three-way fuckfest that results in this?
Sure.
Okay, so I agree with Pawn Stars, fucked Hoarders, also 2009, fucked Operation Repo.
When is Operation Repo?
2008.
Oh. I don't think we've done that one. I don't know what that is.
I think it's just the oldest of the Repo Men shows where we've done Repo Games. Do you guys remember Repo Games?
I remember some Repo. We watched some like South Repo show or something. It was terrible.
Repo Games is a truly awful show where a truck comes up to your house and sets your car up to get towed or whatever, but if you answer three questions right, they don't tow your car.
Oh, terrible.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so bad.
All right. We've got second to last question. What is the production schedule of this show?
They film it and they pay it anyway.
So you think that like the four, so there's like four or five main crew. Do they just drive in a storage unit, the storage unit, and setting it up and filming every like two or three days? Mm. Or is this all in LA and they're just like, do it, like film a couple episodes at the same storage? Like each episode, they kind of go to a different storage unit. You got it. Pressure crew's got to be there for at least half a day to set it up.
We jumped. We don't know.
It's at each episode says like, hey,
oh, it does. Here. Okay.
Like part of this is also like, ooh, they're in Alabama. I bet you there's some chewing gum or chewing tobacco in there.
Oh, they actually switched states? I thought it was just all Southern California.
I actually don't know about that. Mm. But I know they go to different storage units.
Yeah, I'm guessing they do this quick and tidy.
I think there's a lot more to it. I think you're filming like maybe like two or three episodes a week where you're traveling between different storage units. You can't just like fake it. You can't say like, hey, I'm in like Northern California at this storage unit and you're really at some other storage unit. Like they fundamentally will look different.
Yeah, no, I don't think they'll fake it, but it's just when you hire a camera crew, your sound people, your editors, like you need everything to happen as close as possible to one set of time. Because it is a fairly linear process, at least for TV, right? This isn't a movie. So that's why I'm thinking as much as quick and tidy as possible.
I don't know. Max, you got any opinions?
I think they're doing like two setups per day. And I think that like they'll bring in like appraisers and stuff like on another day, like just bang it all out.
Yeah, it looks like they're mostly in California, looking through the list.
Yeah, like the side bits definitely add a lot to the production schedule.
Yeah, the side bits for sure.
And that's what you get from Pawn Stars.
Also like setting up lighting and shots for like some of those, especially the side bits.
Yeah. The side bits are super expensive relative to the rest of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously. All right. Yeah, they're all in California. But they're all, each one is a different place in California.
Each day or each episode.
Each episode, yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
All right. Let's get to ratings. I don't think it'll be a big surprise for anyone, but this is bottom third. Like, I would give season one episode, whatever, like a meh. Like, it kept my attention a little bit, but I also didn't really give a fuck. But then season 12 was just terrible. Like, everything about it. Like, the acting, the set, like you've broken reality. So like, why do I care that they didn't spend this money for this garbage? Like, whatever. And I don't really see any redempting nature of this show at all. Like, it's just nothing. No, what do you got for me?
I'm waffling. You see the potential of the show, but then you see where it ended up. And I think because we have the foresight of the future, we got to go with the bottom. But I'm putting it at the top of the bottom because we know what it was. It's just stayed too long and it's worn out its welcome. For similar reasons you mentioned, like, I think there is actually something interesting here, but also similar to Antique Roadshow. I really dislike that these shows just kind of throw out these figures of like, this can sell for this amount and never go through someone actually buying it. I know they did show for the rhinoceros and ivory thing, but I'd love to see more of the end to end of the whole scavenging, the selling, rather than the speculative pricing. So bottom, but top of the bottom, because we know that it actually can get there.
Before we move on, if you're the first time listening, the rating system is a stack ranking system. So we try to equal out top third, middle third, bottom third. So like, is it your middle reality show? Is it a top reality show? Trying to third it. So, and then some people split it again into thirds again, and then you're getting a little complicated. So just focus on top third, middle third, bottom third.
Complicated as a 1 out of 9 scale, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when you get in stack ranking, it's already a little complicated. Then we're gonna stack rank. Like, Brian, give me your rating.
Is the bottom third. I really thought that like season one was like kind of okay, with especially like, oh man, they're paying that much for like just a pile of junk, and then like season 12, they're just like, yeah, this is like $200, and I was bored. I just don't understand.
I don't understand anything about the show, Brian. Max, yeah, what's your rating?
I hate to bring it to you guys, I didn't hate the first episode, the season 2 episode, so I'm going to give it middle third, bottom of the middle.
What are you doing to me, Max?
I mean, I agree with you on that, but like,
yeah,
like it was just season 12 was just so bad.
I know. But, you know, consider The Simpsons. Early Simpsons, fantastic. Season 26, when, you know, whoever the fuck is the guest star, who gives a shit?
I got to take up on there. People love to hate on The Simpsons currently. I periodically check in. I think it's actually still swinging pretty hard. So I get where you're coming from, but I just want to defend Homer and Marge a little bit.
Okay. All right. So kind of want to talk a little bit more about Indian Matchmaking, which we watched last week. I have finished all 8 episodes of Indian Matchmaking, and I will not spoil anything that happens in Indian Matchmaking. But I find that I've a little soured on it. I'm not going to change my rating, but it ends up being like even more of a commercial for Simi, the main person in charge. And it's really sexist and really just like, I feel quite psychologically hard on everyone involved, at least some of the people involved. And like, she like flat out does some very sexist things. And then like Akshay continues to be in this weird, like weird relationship with his mom and this whole thing. Like, I just can't do it. So I just want to say that I think that if you watch the show, please look at it more critically and like see how this culture is kind of fucked up instead of like taking it as flat out entertainment and kind of escapism. I think there's a lot to be learned while watching it. If you haven't or have continued watching.
If you've logged into Netflix in the past week or two, it would be shocking this has not been promoted to you. They've been going hard in the paint on Indian Matchmaking.
Yeah, and then when you watch all that, it's finding love with autism or something like that. Yeah, loving on the spectrum or something.
Yeah, love on the spectrum.
Which we decided not to do. Too much Netflix recently.
Netflix keeps pumping.
It's true. They've also had some garbage, though.
I mean, it's a lot of garbage.
Doesn't matter. Give me that content.
It's all that niche content, you know? Maybe in a future episode we'll do Crazy Delicious, which I've been pretty keen on. It's a cooking show, you know, that it's pretty trope Like, I don't think there's anything very ingenious about it, but it's executed very well, which makes it a joy to watch.
Brian, what have you been watching?
The greatest reality show of all time, Lost.
Oh. Very reality.
No, I've been, like, continuing rewatching that and then also watching The Last Dance, which has been amazing.
So good. It's, like, the best documentary.
Dude, like, it's so gripping, and then, like, I'm still kind of surprised that it has 10 episodes. Like, what the hell?
I thought the first, like, five were better than the last five, but overall, very good. Yeah.
I stopped on episode two.
What?
Too much content.
What?
I'm like,
impossible. Top of the queue. It's like Chernobyl. You just can't stop watching.
Chernobyl, I couldn't stop watching. This, it had no grip to it. I'm just like, sure.
What do you mean? I mean, if the problem with me is, like, I had very little knowledge of Michael Jordan. So, like, I didn't know what I was getting into. Mm. If you know what happens, like, maybe. It's a different experience.
Like, I clearly don't know 10 hours of documentary depth on Pippen, Rodman and Jordan, Phil Knight, you know, and all that. But, like, I know generally the overture of Jordan. Yeah, it was just like a documentary that I'm like, I just don't care that much about. So I'm like, I can't do it.
Boo.
Yeah, I'm definitely in a minority.
Max, what have you been watching?
I've been watching Search Party. I think I've talked about it before.
Yeah, I think you did last week.
Michael Showalter show, but it stars Mabee from Arrested Development. It's great. Yeah.
So yeah. I've been watching some reality TV on the side a little bit. So 90 Day Fiancé, The Other Way, still going.
Ooh, holy crap.
Still crazy. Still some girl freaked out when she went to Jordan. Because that's what you do when you move to a Muslim country. And, you know, got some other people back from last season. The Korean couple from last season. Even worse shit show than last time, which is amazing.
That's impressive.
And the Indian, the girl, the woman that went to India is back. And, like, even though he's apparently trying to get a divorce and doesn't seem like he's lying this time. So that's kind of crazy. So they're in a slightly better situation than the last time. But mainly I've been watching a lot of Survivor. Got some Survivor going on. Watching some old seasons. Because, like, new seasons ain't coming anytime soon. So, and I don't think football's going to happen. So Survivor, I think, is going to be my, like, my refuge in this quarantine.
Yeah. I'm almost done with Schitt's Creek on Netflix. Season six comes out in a year. It's always a year delayed from the CBC. But I'm still very keen on that show. I think it's so well done. And then Worth It is just, like, keep me satiated when I need a little quick bite of some TV.
Worth It?
Yeah.
Yeah, the food one?
Yeah, the food one.
Yeah. We need to do that. Well, my plan was to do, like, a big episode where we go and do the Seattle episode that they did.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally like, we could do takeout.
I don't know if the restaurants are all open anymore. We have to look at it.
I'll follow up.
But that's definitely one of my ideas. Because I think that would be a fun adventure and something different.
That'd be great. And then I just want to give one shout out. We all watch, a lot of us watch the show, and we don't talk about it enough, but it's definitely the best show on TV for the past several years. This is
The Challenge.
Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. my church, my Jesus, my rabbi, John Oliver, coming in hot every week with the best show on TV. So I just want to pour some out from him.
You got that white void going on.
The white void every week.
All right. Well, you can find us on Twitter, @WhoPutThisOn. You can find us on Facebook.com/WhoPutThisOn. You can email us questions, suggestions at WhoPutThisOn@gmail.com.